Hi, and welcome to People Powered Tech, a podcast powered by Profit Optics. We're a technology consulting firm that unlocks innovation for companies. I'm your host, Greg Stivers. Our guest today, I'm super excited to say, is Felicia Holzgreve. Felicia is a Profit Optics director on our client delivery team, and she has delivered significant products, software products for our clients spanning multiple industries, and is one of our team's key contributors to the culture of Profit Optics. Felicia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, happy to be here.
Glad you're here. All right, so Felicia, coming off our successful, our really successful second annual employee summit, I'm really excited to have you here. And I, you know, as you and I were talking about, I just think that thinking about what we do every day in terms of planning software products for our clients, I think there's some similarities to what you and the team just went through in planning our entire employee summit. So I thought before we jump in, we always start with the person. After all, you know, technology without the people, there would be no tech. So Felicia, please let our listeners know a little bit more about you both personally and professionally.
Okay. All right. Well, my name is Felicia. I have been with Profit Optics for 6 years now, which is wild how the time just flies. My hobbies outside of Profit Optics include flipping furniture. So I love to use my hands and be creative. And I have a plethora of animals. So I keep very busy with my 9 cats and 4 dogs. So it's always fun.
Sounds like there's a podcast in there just learning about Felicia.
Oh, yeah. They probably have their own little personalities. I could have all different stories with them for sure.
I love it. And again, how did you get to Profit Optics?
So funny enough, friend of a friend, I was actually working with Lori Pachaco's mother, and her mom's name is Debbie. Debbie came up to me one day. We were working at a marina software company, and she said, "Hey, Felicia, you're really similar to my daughter, and she really loves what she does. Do you want to talk to her and see if it's a right fit to go work for her?" And it was funny because Debbie is such a soft-spoken person. And so for her to come up to me, that was a pretty big deal. She just kind of stayed in her lane. And so I met up with Lori at Starbucks, and we instantly hit it off. And so now I'm here 6 years later. I'm pretty sure I was hired like the next day. And we are very similar. We work very well together, and we've had a really fun time in the past 6 years.
Yeah, well, and I can say that Profit Optics is way better because you've been here. you've definitely been a bright light both for our clients and just for our internal culture, as I said. So just setting the stage with the audience, we at Profit Optics are a fully remote workforce and will be that way forever. And we've been that way certainly since COVID, that obviously further cemented that. But like all companies, we're always challenged with how do we continue to engage our employees? And so one of the decisions we made starting last year was to have an annual company meeting where we bring all of our US-based and other resources in for really a time of engagement, of fun, of just collaboration and unity, you know, kind of a big unification exercise. And so Felicia, amongst all of the other things that she's tackling all the time, has often, the last 2 years, raised her hand saying, "I would love to spearhead this." So thank you again and the entire team for what they did in doing this. But tell the audience a little bit more about that and just the event, all the planning that went behind it. And then I want to kind of talk a little bit more about then how that relates to what you do every day with software products.
Okay. So it's... You mentioned during COVID, we used to be fully in the office. And so the whiteboarding sessions that we had in the office, that sort of went away when we worked from home. You got on a call to talk about a very specific topic. You didn't get on the call to say, "Hey, how's your family? How's life? What are things going?" And if you did, it was for 3 minutes. And then you switch over to the topic at hand, which is, how do we solve this problem? What do we do here? So what we realized is that team building in-person time is super invaluable. And so last year, so thankful that we had the opportunity to get everyone together and do a great team building. It lasts for 2 days, kind of 2.5 days, because we kind of have a pre-party and a post-party as well. But we repeated that this year after the huge success last year. We had so much great feedback of, "I loved meeting this person for the first time in person. And when you're in the same room as someone and you're having a conversation, you get such a different feel, you get such a different communication, you get such a different relationship that strengthens your day-to-day, let's get this work topic done. Now you have some inside jokes, you have some background knowledge of, yeah, my wife does this, or my kids are in this school, or whatever it is. It's so much more meaningful when you meet someone in person. So we were super excited to do it again this year. I had a committee help me put together this two-day summit. And what we really wanted to focus on this year was in-person spending time together. The team building aspect was something that we miss on the day-to-day. We can get on a call. We can do a whiteboarding session. There's so many tools now that we can actually use. But the fun, jovial, in-person, back-and-forth banter that you don't get on a call, that's what we really wanted to focus on this year. So that was our main takeaway. So we had a lot of team building, bonding time, which was very different from last year. We had more workshops and someone at the front of the room speaking. We had a lot more, we did an egg drop. Let's build a little nest around this egg to protect it as we drop it from a third floor of the science museum. So we did a lot of team building activities just to enhance that, like, let's talk, let's laugh together. Now we have inside jokes to come back to for the next few months of what we did.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love about it is, as you said, I mean, it's just engaging our teams, getting together, doing a lot of those things that you just can't tangibly do online as well as you can. Having said that, we build products every single day without being with our clients in many ways, right? So the reality is that is the way of life, that we often love to be with our clients and we'll be with them in person when we can, but oftentimes we're not, right? And so certainly having talked to many of the participants that were at the summit, we achieved the goal, right? The goals that you stated. Now, I want you to kind of characterize that and start thinking about what are some of the similarities as you think about, we have goals for our products, for our clients' products, right? In terms of achieving certain fiscal outcomes, you know, achieving certain user experiences, et cetera. Give us just kind of some comparison of some, in fact, let's talk about, as you were planning for the summit, you're trying to achieve some of these goals. What all went into that?
Yeah. So to start with that, we can go to my work ethic. Here at Profit Optics, I tend to be a firefighter. I get put on a lot of projects to help out. Hey, Felicia, we have a really tough client. They're really hard to work with. Can you help us out? And I tend to come in and I organize in a way that is kind. And I feel like that is my strength here. And so I get put on a lot of projects that say, hey, we need help in this way. We need help in that way. So my team is actually called the chameleons because we all are like that, right? We tend to blend into wherever we're placed, we will do a good job. So I think something that is really important that the summit is kind of alluding to is we need to be able to not only blend in with who we're working with and who we're around, which these are our coworkers, right? So no one's going to hate us. No one's going to be upset or anything like that. But how can we do this in a way that is kind, but it's also going to elicit fun? Yeah. So I think something that's really big, a huge takeaway whenever I'm going into a project that I kind of get a digest from the current business lead that's on it, the business analyst, and they say, hey, Felicia, here's what we're dealing with. Here's what happened. This is where we need you. Here's what's going on. We have a clear goal. Hey, Felicia, I need you to put together better JIRA requirements, or I need you to be able to X, Y, or Z. That's exactly the same thing what we had to do for the summit. What was our goal for the summit? It was not to do a whiteboarding session. It was not to create rules on how to use JIRA. It was to build team camaraderie. And so that was our ultimate goal. So we started with this high-level goal, and then we worked our way down from there. And I think that's something that's super key when you're looking at any project, whether it's planning a company get-together or planning a development project, you have to know what your goal is. What are we going to get out of this? What is going into this? What are we going to need to do?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So I've got a natural question, and that is, how do you deal with annoying executives that are changing their mind on dates and other things?
You know, I feel like someone in this room was the one who was, you know, changing the dates quite a bit. But no, that's actually what comes with the territory, because that actually happens on any project, right? Whether that's a summit that you're planning or a project, you have to be flexible. You have to be able to take what's coming with you and know that even though I've planned out this organized way to get to my goal in the end, I know that something is going to happen that I have to be adaptable and I have to be able to take that and run with it. Whether that's, hey, a bunch of people have COVID, we need to change the date, or hey, I have a new feature that this is the highest priority of all of my tickets. You need to get this done right now. Or this is a feature that I forgot to mention before and this needs to be included in this release. You have to be able to adapt to be able to move forward.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So what was a feature of the summit that you weren't able to include that you wanted to?
Yeah, so I think just like a project, you have budget constraints, you have time constraints, and you have resource constraints, right? So one of ours for the summit was budget. We had to work within a budget. We had a list of 20 really fun activities, but we only had 2 days to do those in. Let's say 2 days in a little bit because we had dinner the night before as well. So something that we had to work within is the triangle of we had this budget, we had this time constraint. What do we want to do? Which features do we want to include that will fit into our little triangle? So we had, I don't want to, like, spoiler alert, just in case we include it next year, but we'd had a brainstormed list of 20 different activities that we could have done that we didn't because they didn't fit into our final release of what the summit actually was. And honestly, it was great. We had so much positive feedback. What we ended up including, they did, no participant missed out on what was not included because we included just the right amount, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, so let's translate that then back to a software product. Yeah. You've got a very demanding user or demanding owner of the product from a client perspective who wants five things. You can only fit three of those in. How do you negotiate that? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is communication. You have to be very clear with your client, or you know, if your client's the executives who are in charge of, you know, planning the summit or approving the budget, you have to be super clear with, hey, we have this much time, this much resource, these are the features that you want to include, but we cannot include all of them. Let's talk through this. Let's prioritize what is the most important to get completed, right? Whether that's a feature or that's an event at the summit. You have to ensure that you're getting done the things that are fitting within that constraint.
Yeah, agreed. So we've talked about some of the similarities. What were some of the differences between planning a summit and planning a software product release or launch? Man.
Well, I think the people aspect, honestly, planning a summit is much more fun because you're talking about bringing in an improv coach, right? That's a really cool, like, fun thing. And I think there's a lot more detail with personalities, right? I feel like with the summit, we had a lot more opinions coming into it, which, not to say that that's actually so different than a project, right? You might have different stakeholders that you have the end user that you're getting opinions from, you're getting your point of contact, as well as the CEO who's paying for it. So it actually wasn't quite as different as maybe what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, well, in fact, it's funny you say that because I was going to say you, of all people, are great at especially identifying user personas when we're talking about clients. And so I think in many ways that is a similar comparison to dealing with whoever, the budget holder of the summit versus the attendee of the summit versus, you know. So I think while there's differences in terms of kind of that live, real person, I think one of the ways that you and our teams bring these different personas alive is through these user personas with the clients, right? Really identifying that relative to a software product.
Yeah. And deciding between should a button go here on a page versus do we want an improv coach or a magician coming in? Maybe that's the difference that I'm feeling. You know, that might be a little bit more fun. Which activity are we going to do?
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you that the noise level at the summit during that improv session was a lot higher than I've seen on stand-ups for most of our software.
Yeah, you know, we were super concerned about the children that were coming in being loud, and I'm pretty sure we beat them.
I think we did. I think we were the big children that day, which was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. So yeah, so what are you mentioned some important things, flexibility. What are some other areas that are important as you think about planning? Again, I think about our audience, and we've got probably people in the audience who are leading projects or participating in projects, but every one of us is planning a birthday party for our kids or something else for a friend. Yeah. What are some of those important things to consider?
I think one of the other top priorities, right? So having a goal in mind, what is that goal? I want to have a you know, 8-year-old birthday party for a bunch of boys, or I want to build team building, right? That's your first number one priority. Being adaptable, being flexible. I think that's number two. Hey, it's going to rain. What are we going to do instead of having the bouncy house? Hey, we have, you know, we don't have enough budget. What are we going to do instead of bringing in this improv coach to help us out? I think the third thing is resourcing. What I mean by that is who is on your side to help get this done, right? So for the summit, I had an awesome team that we were able to divide and conquer. We were able to choose who would come in, give our speeches, give the workshops, help us out there. At a birthday party, you might have your spouse that helps you. You might have a neighbor that brings food. But then also, let's say the entertainment. You have to know, all right, my children might be afraid of clowns. I want a magician instead, right? So having those resources and who you can count on, the right people on the project is super important. So for, you know, relating it to a sprint, relating to a release, maybe you don't need a mobile developer on this release. Maybe you just need a designer because that's been a huge focus of, hey, these colors are off or my alignment on the letters are wrong. Having the right resources in place is going to make a huge difference in the success of a project.
What else would you maybe share with our audience as it relates to just learnings that you had coming out? I do want to highlight one thing, and that is you had a great team. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
But you can have a great team, but if you don't delegate well to them, then you do it all and not all of it gets done. So I think that's another, maybe just talk about that. How did you delegate? Because I think we've seen, and we have people here, even at Profit Optics, who are better delegators than others.
Yeah.
And I know that when I delegate well, things go fabulously well.
For sure.
When I try to take it all on my shoulders, things fall off the plate, things get dropped, things don't go as well. So talk about that.
I think one of the positives that came out of COVID is that we have a lot of tools that help us be successful now. And so one of those is being able to delegate. So we use a project management tool that we use for the summit that is typically used in our sprint planning. But we use that to say specifically, who is taking care of food on this morning for breakfast? Who is taking care of lunch on this day? Who is bringing the swag? Who is ordering the swag? What swag do we want? So we had very specific tasks, but they weren't specific in how to get it done, right? So I think that's super important to know the level of detail that you need to go into to say, hey, I need someone to find someone to do something fun with us. What is our guest speaker going to be? That was enough for one of the team members to actually find the improv coach. She was like, hey, this would be really cool. This would really benefit us. That was enough detail for her to go and run with it. Where for food, we have a lot of allergies, so we had to get a lot more description. We had to decide, all right, do people eat breakfast in the morning? Are people going to want a bigger lunch? What time is lunch going to be based off of the other workshops in the day? So that we had to get a little bit more detail to then say, okay, we're going to need you to order food for this many people at this specific time and here are all the allergens. So you had to get like pretty specific about, hey, this is a very like detailed task that I need you to take care of. But we needed to get that detail before it could be taken care of.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And obviously the similarity with the software is user research, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, so important. And when you, again, don't delegate, you know, things just fall off the rails.
Oh yeah, I could not have done this by myself at all. And so it's so thankful for the team that I had that just took these and ran with it, right? We had this board, and if they had questions, they would come to me, just like a developer, right? You can't just say, hey, go build this. Sometimes they will, but it's not going to be what you had in your head, right? So you have to give enough information to then they can go and complete the task.
Well, and I love what you said there. Give them enough, but not too much, because you want to also
empower them.
Empower their creativity, right? And so, and you think about it just as a human, I want to help others. I am so happy to, if you tell me to go do something in preparation for this party, I want to go do that. Again, if you even give me a little flexibility to kind of add some creative license there, that's even more empowering, right? Well, and we see that with our developers every day.
For sure. And I feel like the work that comes out of it when you give that empowerment is such a different quality because they take so much more pride instead of, hey, I copied your mock-up exactly how you asked me to do it. It's, hey, you gave me a bit more freedom. This is what I came up with. And more brains working together is going to result in something really awesome and really incredible.
I agree. I agree. I always say if we're going to do everything all with my ideas, it's going to be very subpar. When we add everyone's ideas, yours and the teams and ever's, that's where it gets better. And so what a great result. Yeah. I mean, what a great result. Yeah. So thank you again and the entire team for all the work that you put into it. Certainly the team that that got to attend obviously got a lot out of it, as our clients do with software every day. So yeah, so I guess maybe to maybe put a finer point on all of that, what would you want to share, you know, as, or maybe is there anything that I didn't ask you that you might want to share relative to just projects in general?
Yeah, I think something to keep in mind and just something that's just as important is that feedback. So last year was the first year that we created this summit. And what we did is I sent out a user survey afterwards to say, hey, how much fun was it? But not just how much fun. For these specific workshops, what did you get out of it? Did you get anything out of it? And would you want to do it again? And so from that feedback this year, we created a much different experience. Last year was a much more classroom setting. We had people sitting at desks, writing on paper, learning as they went. It was awesome. It was so great. This year, because the feedback from last year was so focused on, I loved spending time with, I loved getting to know, it was so surprising that this person, blah, 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 blah. We tried to focus more on that positive feedback and stay away from the negative. One of them was from last year, we went to a location that was far too loud for people to communicate. They said, why did we do that? That was kind of a waste of time. Let's not do that. So we didn't do that this year. We didn't go to a loud bar so people couldn't talk, because that's what we heard and what we felt from that feedback is we want to be able to communicate. We want to be able to spend time with these people that we only know from behind a screen. We get to see their legs for the first time in a year. This is great. But I think relating that to your projects, listening to that feedback from your client, they may say, hey, this is great that we have this button at the top of the screen, but what if blah, 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 blah. Don't take it as a negative. Right. Don't take it as a, oh, this was a failure. This was terrible. This was bad. Take it and make it better for the future, right? Hear that feedback and then use it to help you build something even better.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. So, yeah, so everyone that's listening, obviously you're going to build a solution that will do a lot of good things, but it can always be better. And so we call this people-powered tech for a reason. You've got to listen to the people. You've got to do that user research, but you're going to miss things even in that user research. So once you deliver, keep asking the question, how can this be better? How else could this impact you? And so in all of that feedback, it will be better. And that, and our summit was a great example of that.
Yeah. So, and just to say, not all feedback is, you know, needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just will require a conversation. And from that feedback, if you have the conversation of what did you mean by this? How did, what did, what, where were you going with that? Then you can kind of take, hey, my end goal was actually, instead of building a, having a team building summit, I actually wanted to have a learning summit, right? Where we focused on doing these other things. I think having that conversation from any negative feedback that you get, maybe you don't want to take it into consideration to, you know, actually change what they're suggesting, but it starts a conversation and then you can move forward from there.
I love it. Great insights, Felicia. Just amazing. So my guess is I've now got this big audience group that now are fangirl or fanboys of Felicia like I am. So so I know that that there's going to be future podcasts and the audience is going to be clamoring for you to come back. But before we go, I like to close every show with a lightning round. And so this is a way for everyone in the audience to just get a little tighter understanding of Felicia, not just the furniture restorer, not just the animal lover. So anyway, so again, I've got this lightning round. Are you good with that?
Yeah, let's okay, do it.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Morning or night person?
Ooh, probably a night person.
Okay, I thought so based on that last email I got. Ebook or physical book?
I'm currently reading a physical book, but the majority, I am in a book club, are on an ebook.
Okay, all right. But if you had to choose one, only one.
Probably the paper.
All right, yeah. All right, fair enough. Your phone app that you could not live without.
Shoo, Gmail or Google Calendar. That runs my life and I love it.
Fair enough. And the only thing, the only reason I'm accepting that answer is because that does run your life even outside of work.
Yes, 1000%. It keeps me straight on all everything that I do. I have a lot of different activities.
I love it. All right, you talked about your book club. Favorite book of the past year?
Oh, man. That is a tough one. So we have been trying to express ourselves in all of the different genres. Ah. And so, man, we have ranged from romance to like killer ones. You put me on the spot. I don't know. So a really good one is called Agalia's Daughters. It kind of criticizes male female gender roles, okay, and the stereotypes that come with it. And okay, so they in this book they flip flop, right? Nice. So you see it when if women were in charge, what would men have to do, yeah, right? Nice. So it was kind of an interesting thing to read. Whoa, hang on, I kind of took that for granted that women have to do this.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like challenging normal stereotypes.
Good, I like it. All right. Favorite moment of the past year?
I was invited to be in an Indian wedding. And so that was something that definitely got me out of my comfort zone because I am not a dancer. And so I...
She is now, audience.
I learned and performed a dance at the Sangeet. And it was such a great opportunity to be a part of this small wedding, which is kind of funny because it was still 150 people, but wow, to be a part of this wedding, to dance in front of this, but not only because I am a poor dancer, but because the family took me in with open arms. And so they were cheering me on despite how terrible and poorly I was dancing. So that was just such a phenomenal experience all around.
I love it. As Felicia explained that to me and shared that story, it really reminded me of the very first time and every time I go back to Serbia and how welcoming our teams in Serbia are into their homes and into their families. And it is beautiful. So I'm so glad you got that experience. All right, final question. If you weren't working in tech, what would you do for a living?
I would be a wedding planner, which is kind of funny that, you know, we're kind of talking about planning fun things. But I don't know if it would be a wedding planner or if it would be at a, you know, having a wedding venue and yeah, I would be helping on the day of. I just feel like that's such a fun, happiest day of your life. And just to be a part of that over and over again, I would
love to
awesome. Do that.
That's awesome. Well, our planner in action. I love it. Well, great job. Great yeah, job, Felicia. My guess, in fact, I'm pretty confident in this, that there's going to be a lot of listeners who'd love to pick your brain or bounce additional ideas off you by tapping into your expertise. So where can they find you?
You know, LinkedIn is a great place to find me. I'm linked to Profit Optics over here, but of course all the social medias I'm on as well, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, so yeah, so last name is Holzgreve, yep. Holzgreve.
Yes, exactly.
So you can find Felicia there. But to all our audience, thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Finally, keep smiling and remember that it is people that power the technology that can make your business grow. If you want to meet people that live that daily or want to ask questions about how technology can impact your business, hit us up at pod.profitoptics.com. Thanks for listening to People Powered Tech. Profit Optics produces the show. We are a technology consulting company that designs and delivers data and software solutions to help companies unlock innovation. Learn more at profitoptics.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with a colleague, and rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform.